Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us through Ephesians, and coming up, we're continuing a special edition of the program with both Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl. They're together giving some practical insights on the role of the husband and wife right here on Back to Basics.
Brian is really, really good at tuning me out. And he's really good at spending time with his cell phone. So what I do is when I see that I'm not being heard, instead of using those mean words, I'll say, you know, I'll ask him a question like, Brian, did you realize that how clean the kitchen looked today?
Oh, yes, I did. Why, that was one of the cleanest kitchens I have ever seen in my life. Oh, Cheryl, no one can get those counters to sparkle like you. How blessed I am to have a wife that does the dishes, and only does the dishes, will make me food, will go to the market. I am a blessed, blessed man. And by the way, did I tell you look younger every day? How blessed I am. Many have done nobly, but I have done so well.
I just say through him what I need to hear.
I'm sticking with you, baby. You're the one for me.
It helps pass the time. But talk and speak as you want to be spoken to, how you want to be addressed. If they're not listening, try it. Do their voice. Get the imitation down. Even Brian says sometimes he just goes quiet to hear what I'm going to say or what he's going to say. So there are certain phrases that shouldn't be used. Never say never. Don't say you never or you always. It's better to say things like, I feel like, and this is how I feel, because it gives them a way out, because we women are so good at assuming and presuming. These are our gifts and our curse. We tend to, if he says, you look really good today. Oh, that means every other day of the year, I look terrible. That's what you're saying. Or I really like this chicken. Oh, so you didn't like the beef that I cooked yesterday? You know, we have this way of assuming and presuming and reading between the lines things that never even came into their minds. I know that when Brian fell in love with Indian food, I was sure he wanted to leave me for a nice Indian woman who could do a good curry. Unfortunately, that's true, just like me texting him. But, you know, we assume and we presume, and we have to stop that because we might not mean what we say, but they pretty much do. That's it. There's no delving deeper. It's, I said you're pretty. I meant P-R-E-T-T-Y. Pretty. Or is it P-E-R-T-T? Pretty. Pretty or pretty? That's why they have to go to their phone and do spell check. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer each one. It's so important that we have that gracious speech, those gracious words, and that we speak grace when we're in conflict. Again, treating them as we would like to be treated, using words that we would like to hear. That's going to lead us to conflict resolution and not to bitterness and anger and resentment.
It is fascinating to me, the conclusions that Cheryl can draw from certain statements that I make that have absolutely never, ever crossed my mind, such as, I really like curry, meaning I want to get a new wife who can make a good curry. Now, how she ever could get out of, I really like curry, that I want a new wife, I've never been able to figure that out. But I've seen over the years that, you know, that happens a lot. So I need to be thinking ahead when I'm saying things. You know, how is this going to be interpreted? Maybe there's a better way that I could say it so it's not misinterpreted. But one thing that you shared in the last couple of services that you didn't share in this one, but maybe you should, when we were young, early on in the marriage, she used to threaten me with divorce all the time. That was just, you know, kind of just her way of trying to get some power in the thing. So just share about that.
So I used to use the divorce word. And one time Brian said to me, Cheryl, if you knew how much that hurt me when my parents divorced when I was young, you would never throw that word out at me. And I, you know, my parents never divorced, so I didn't know the pain that was involved with Brian and his childhood. And because it hurt him, I chose never to use that word ever again. Murder, yes. Divorce, no. No.
But as you said before, had I used that word with you, had I threatened you with that, that would have crushed you. That would have
absolutely crushed me.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have crushed me. I can, again, I want respect, but I don't want to give it. I mean, I'm getting better. I'm not like up here, like I'm still like this. I'm 95% better. Seriously. Therapy has really helped. No, I'm just kidding. Therapy with Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. But it's that respect.
And although respect is her topic, but I want to just jump over into it for a second, because of course, as husbands, we need to speak respectfully too. And I know, you know, I mean, guys, I think we're all similar in this way. It's really hard to hurt my feelings. I'm just not a feely kind of a guy for the most part. So, I mean, most of everything that she's ever said to me just is like water off a duck's back. I don't even think twice about it. But I know that she's different than I am. I know that she's very, very sensitive. And if I said the kinds of things to her, they would really crush her. And I would just say, you know, to you men, we talked last week about, you know, never being abusive, and not just physically abusive, but verbally abusive. And I've known occasions where, you know, guys have just said the cruelest things to their wives, even in my presence at times because of the counseling I do. And I just thought, wow, you know, if I said something like that to my wife, it would crush her, and it would, not just the moment I said it, but knowing her nature, it would go on and on. It would be very hard for her to forget that I had said that. So we need to be respectful as husbands in our, you know, the way, you know, I'm talking about allowing for the fact of conflict and all those things. You know, that's true, but we need to be really, really careful in those conflicts, in the things that we say. And there are certain things that just should never, ever, ever be said. And so find nice ways to address. Yeah, find nice ways to say mean things. That's what Cheryl just said. That's what I was trying to say. So moving on to the third point here and our final point together. And we were kind of struggling with, you know, what we wanted to say on this point. And for me, I just kind of put the heading love and happiness. But, you know, the thing is, of course, this is the desire of every person, right? Happiness. This is the desire, I think, of every married couple. If you ask people, well, what do you really want out of your marriage? I think most people would say, well, I want to be happy. But here's the thing that we don't realize. If you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. Happiness comes through love. If you pursue love, you'll get happiness. And the thing that I had in my mind, I think Cheryl does as well, is happiness is what you get when your love endures. One of the things that I find absolutely amazing is how things get better the farther down the road we go together in this relationship. And here we are after, like I said, you know, 3.5 decades or so, and I'm amazed at how things just keep getting better. And again, sometimes people are tempted to give up. Sometimes they think, well, you know, the problem is I just got the wrong person and I need to get a different person. It's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence or hill kind of a thing. But the reality is that's not true. The person that you're with, the road to happiness is with that person, staying with that person. It's learning how to love each other. That's where the happiness is going to come. So don't mistakenly think that, well, if I could just get out of this marriage and get into another one, then everything would be perfect. No. Happiness increases. Happiness in marriage increases as you journey through the seasons of life with one another. We need to stick it out because really the best is yet to come. And, you know, when we first got married, and maybe those first 10 years of the marriage where we had a lot of the different conflicts and things, I was never thinking so far down the road like, wow, when we're married 20 years or 25 years or when we've been married 30 years, you know, I wasn't so much thinking like that. But now that we have been, I marvel and say, wow, I never knew it would be this amazing. I never knew it would be this great. And I never really expected it to just keep getting better. But that's the truth, because what's happening is the longer we live together, what we've been doing together, I was 23 when we got married, Cheryl had just turned 20, we've been growing together. We've been growing in the Lord. We grew as just human beings in maturity and so forth. And now, you know, we've got all this history behind us now. We've raised our 4 kids. We've got 5 grandchildren. We've got different life experiences and, you know, lived in different places and have friends and all kinds of different, and, you know, we just have this life that's so interwoven. I couldn't imagine doing life, you know, without her. I couldn't imagine saying, you know, I'm gonna trade her in for somebody else and, you know, try to do this whole thing all over again. No, this is where we wanted, even without thinking about it, this is where we wanted to arrive at, where we've got that history and we've got that enjoyment. We've got that connection with our own children and our grandchildren and just all of this connectedness in life. So remember this again, happiness is what you get when your love endures. So stick with it. Be faithful. Hang in there. Just know that if you do things God's way and you press through the fluctuating emotions and you press through those times of conflict, there's blessing. The best is yet to come.
All right, so respect when it comes to happiness. Proverbs speaks of a variety of types of men. You've got the fool, the wise man, the poor, the rich, the perverse, the lying, the humble, the honest, the proud, the lazy, just to name a few. But there's very few types of women. There's the immoral, there's the wise, there's the foolish, there's the contentious, which is a woman that doesn't respect or appreciate, and there's the virtuous. As far as the contentious woman, it says in Proverbs 19:13, "And the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping." These women make their environment miserable. Proverbs 21:9 says, "Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman." These are encouragement. Just take the encouragement that you get. Proverbs 21:19, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious, angry woman." Proverbs 27:15, "A continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." These are the women nobody wants to be around. On the other hand, the virtuous woman, according to Proverbs 31:26, opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. This is the woman that we want to be. We want to be those women with the law of kindness on our heart, in our lips, but it's got to start in our hearts. According to Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the mouth will betray what's really going on in my heart. So it's got to work in my heart. If those words are coming out, then there's a heart problem that I need to work on, that I need to take before the Lord. I can't blame others for what's going on in my heart. Others only prove what's inside my heart. I have to present my heart to Jesus and say, you know what? I obviously am holding something or carrying something that needs to be cleansed out, needs to be gotten rid of, because I would love to have kind words be the law of my mouth, to be the rule that guards and dictates what is said. So it has to begin with my heart. According to Romans 12:2, Paul said that we have been transformed that we might prove what is that good and excellent will of God. It's very easy to be critical. You know, we can always find that needs improvement or must be fixed. You know, we women, we're really good at the honey do list. You know, honey do this, honey do that. But we need to have the honey done list. He's done this, and this is done, and this is good. We need to prove or to bring out or to see the good and the excellent. And that can only happen by the transformation of the Spirit. It's got to be the Spirit of God working in us to transform and to bring out that excellent. Again, it's got to be a work of the Spirit. I love this quote by Bishop Philip Brooks, because he says this. He's the one who wrote Little Town of Bethlehem. But he said, do not pray for easy lives. And I would say, don't pray for easy marriages. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work or the doing of your marriage will be no miracle, but you will be the miracle. God wants to use your marriage, and he wants it to be a miracle. You could say, we ran out of this. I ran out of respect. He ran out of love. But then God came and gave us a greater love and a greater respect. I'm a walking miracle. I used to spew mean things, but now Jesus is in me. And now I'm showing respect, not because Cheryl can show respect, but because the Spirit of God has cleansed my heart and transformed me. And now I can show respect. We can showcase what a Christian marriage is about. We can teach this to our children. We want to be those miracles, these testimonials to what God can do. I never had a testimony. I can't think of, well, I was hyperactive, and I did get kicked out of the junior high Sunday school class for crawling under the pews during a Moody Bible movie. And I had to go to the tent where my dad was preaching, but I liked that. But I never really had a testimony. I married a testimony, but I didn't have my personal testimony. But you know what? My marriage is a testimony. I can say, yeah, we used to fight. It was hard, but it's gotten better and better and better by the grace of God and by the power of God working in both of us. And I can say our marriage is a miracle. And I'm a miracle of God, just like you're a miracle of God. And God wants to make your marriages a miracle.
Amen. You know, a couple of people after the earlier services have said, and many people have said this to us in times, you know, where we've spoken at different events, marriage things that I mentioned earlier. You know, people appreciate the transparency. And, you know, look, We don't know how to not be transparent. I mean, that's just the way. Because if we, you know, if we got up here and pretended like everything was, you know, absolutely perfect all the time, we'd be lying to you. And but in the end, I don't think that really helps anybody. What helps is when we see that God, he takes imperfect people, and he works in their lives, and he's patient, and he's gracious, and he works over long periods of time, and he he grows us up and develops us. Because sometimes I think we wrongly get the impression that, you know, unless everything is just perfect overnight, somehow we failed. Somehow we're failing God, or somehow we don't have, the right partner or that godly marriage or whatever. Not so. Not so. It's a process. It's a process of God's grace that is bringing us all ultimately to perfection when we leave this world, but along the way, maturity, becoming more and more like Christ. So in closing, I want to just finish up by taking us back to 1 Corinthians 13. We read this last week, and I wanted to read verses 4 through 7 again. And then I'll just make a couple of quick comments and we'll wrap things up. But there in verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is defining the word agape. So he says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love never fails. Now, when we read that, if you're honest, you think, wow, I don't have any love. I don't know anything about, I'm not like a lot of this stuff. The one that stood out to me this week is irritable. You know, Cheryl's very sensitive to me being irritable. And when I get irritable, she inevitably thinks that I'm looking for that wife that can make the curry instead of her. But sometimes it's just as simple as, well, honey, you know, actually I ate a pint of ice cream last night, and sugar, you know, I have a problem with sugar, and you know, it can make me irritable. So it has nothing to do with anything personal about you. It's just my blood sugar levels are low and I'm sorry. But as we look at this, we all see the reality is that we fall short of this, right? But here's the great news. There's somebody who lacks not in the supply of love, and that somebody is Christ. Christ has an endless supply of this love, and what we do is we tap into that. Because remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. How am I going to become more like 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7? I'm going to become more like this progressively as time goes on, as I just stay connected to Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. He is the vine, we are the branches. So listen, draw on that endless supply that he has for you. Go to him. As a husband today, if you're feeling like, you know, man, I just have been failing as loving my wife, go to the one who has the endless supply of love. He'll provide you with it. As a wife, maybe you're feeling the same. Go to him and ask him and know that he'll supply it, and he'll keep supplying it over and over again. As often as you return, that will be available to you.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Love and Respect, and the resource number is BBE0035. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you've ever longed to travel to Israel to visit the land of the Bible, Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are inviting you to join them May 5th through 17th in 2016. Going to Israel is an unforgettable experience. It's a time to grow in your knowledge of the Word, make new friends, and see Bible prophecy fulfilled before your eyes. You can get all the details at israel.cccm.com. Thanks again for tuning in today. And we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.